If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Isaiah again this time, but chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, and about half a dozen verses in. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. I'm sure you'll agree, we have here in these four verses a very beautiful text of scripture and what it describes. I want to go there. It's amazing. There are naturally several interpretations of it. And it all really comes down to whether you think there's going to be a literal thousand-year reign of Christ after the second coming and before the final state. There's talk of a thousand years in the book of Revelation. Some people say, yep, it really is a literal 1,000-year period of time during which Christ will reign in Jerusalem and the earth will be like it was at the time of Adam and Eve, but before the fall. And then after that, the judgment day. So there will literally be children and calves and lions all kind of playing together. The other people have a different view, and they look at that chapter in Revelation and say, in one respect, it's a picture of where we are now. We are in a golden age right now. Now, not by the standards of the world, but in the riches we have in Christ, we are enjoying a golden age now. And they would look at this text and argue it is more picture language, it's more metaphor than to be understood literally. You will have your own views on how to interpret it, as indeed I will have mine. But what does it teach us upon which we can all agree? Well, Isaiah is beholding a time here in the future when enemies, natural enemies in the physical world, will be reconciled. And there is a sense here of going back to Eden. When God created the world, there were not animals attacking animals. There were certainly no humans attacking humans. There was harmony and equilibrium. There was peace. The whole of creation was unified, both in love for God and for itself. And we know at the fall, graphically illustrated, of course, by the killing of Abel by Cain, we have got bloodshed unleashed. And certainly at the time of Noah, if not from before, animals are a picture, in one respect, of what the world has become. Though they did no wrong, you know, they die, they suffer, their blood is shed by humans and by each other. And we have these wonderful pictures. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Now, there's a few folk here tonight who know a little thing or two about lambs. I don't know if that knowledge extends to the rearing of wolves. But even I would know that if I had wolves and lambs, I wouldn't generally put them together unless I wanted to feed the former. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. Now, it would only lie down with the young goat if that young goat was in its stomach. But Isaiah is beholding a time when there will be harmony between this most vulnerable of prey and predator. Again, the calf and the young lion. And we're told a little child shall lead them. A little child, of course, is a very vulnerable type of human being. Easily led astray, easily attacked, requiring protection. Yet here, the little child is leading them. Who? The calf and the lion. The young lion. There is harmony between a young human, a young lion, and a young calf. They're all kind of getting on with each other. No one is killing each other. The cow and the bear shall graze. Again, not on each other, but presumably on the grass. And that they're young. There is harmony between old and young, between one species and another, between human beings and the rest of creation. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Well, hard to imagine. But then the last verse of the passage, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, that's hard to imagine as well. So Isaiah is beholding a time in the future when there is harmony between humans, when there is harmony within creation, there's harmony between humans and creation, because there is harmony between humans and God. One of the problems of all the movements concerned with ecology around the world is that they totally and utterly ignore the Creator. It's all about what we can do to save our planet, which was started by chance billions of years ago, and therefore is doomed to fail. But Isaiah is beholding a time, let's remember, in the few verses immediately preceding it, which I've not read tonight, but we looked at last week, we have Isaiah beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of his coming that we have all these wonderful benefits, this harmony, this equilibrium between all the different features and aspects of creation. Again, verse 8, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. You wouldn't allow a child to play there now. I remember in India a few years ago, I just saw the end of a snake disappear behind some curtains in our room. I mentioned it to one of the Indians, and they all started screaming and ran out, and then they started bashing it and beating it. You don't live with these creatures. And yet Isaiah is beholding a time when this cobra will be no threat, even to the tender hands of a child, even within the viper's den. And of course we know that Satan is often described as being a snake or a dragon. Here is a time when Satan is simply not available anymore. All the fall has been undone. And he says in verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And we humans are very good at that. The art of warfare. We excel at it. We damage, we hurt, physically, emotionally, in other ways as well. But the time is coming. And maybe the holy mountain here refers to New Jerusalem, which is likened to being a great mountain. But in that kind of final state, when there's total bliss, paradise is restored and regained. But again, the greatest wonder of the entire passage, and one which I don't see any or much sign of now, but then why would I? Because I don't look for signs in the world to fulfill God's word. God's word is true, regardless of what goes on in the world. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. There will be a time when, instead of a handful of believers meeting in a corner of a field and the people driving past thinking, what on earth are they doing on a Wednesday night? Actually, people coming together to worship God, it will be normal. And we'll all be doing it. The scripture talks about the wicked will be removed. Now, I thank God that though we were wicked, we weren't removed, we were forgiven. And the offer of forgiveness, although not specifically mentioned in this particular text, is available to us. Whatever our eschatological views, our views of the end times, what the passage, I think, assures everybody is that we have a great future. In one respect, you could say we've got a great present as well. We have harmony. We have peace with God, because of what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary and at the empty tomb. And I think sometimes, and we'll share our prayer requests in a moment, sometimes when we pray for this and we pray for that and we think, ooh, there's so much to pray for, so much to do. Our resources are scant. Our strength is little. But we are on the victory side. These words, whether metaphorical or literal, they are going to be fulfilled. God has committed it to writing, and therefore of it we can be certain. So when we come to pray in a moment, remember the darkness, the times of pain, the periods of suffering, they are but temporal. What Isaiah sees here is eternal. Amen.